Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
The letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Beautiful translation of Philippians 4. Well, friends, it's that time of the year again, and at least some are not yet ready to give any thanks at all. One turkey, for instance, said to another, I don't know about you, but I always only give thanks the day after Thanksgiving. The truth is that most of us are not particularly good at saying thank you. Oh yes, we do, but sometimes we just say it and move on. And people can see we don't really mean it from the inside. Many people in our times are like the little kid who was invited to a birthday party, and on his return after the birthday party, his mother wanted to know, well, Bobby, did you remember to thank the lady of the house for a wonderful party? Well, Mom, actually, I was going to, but a girl ahead of me said thank you, and the lady told her not to mention it. So I didn't. In our times, a radical change is taking place as to how we, living in America, is viewed by the rest of the world. Actually, since the onset of the huge economic downturn across the globe, we are seen as having joined the ranks of those who know poverty in a way that we in America have not experienced before. Oh yes, we've lived through many a crisis. Many of us remember the names of devastating hurricanes like Katrina, like household names in all America. 9/11 came and never went. Afghanistan, Iraq, and a constant danger of terrorism across the world touch us where it really hurts. During the past week, we've seen the discussion on the media about searching people and viewing people before they can get on airplanes to the minutest detail. What a world. What a world we're living in. What has the world come to in our times? And through the media, not only thousands of victims, but most of us regularly witness destruction, pain, displacement, and poverty. We see it up close here where we live in Cocoa Beach, near the big ocean. And all these blows of the past years are staggering us. America? America, but aren't you a country of great wealth and resources? Nowadays, we discover that even America is challenged to live side by side with the poorest of the poor. And during these days, our biggest Thanksgiving activities are to hand out and share something of our daily bread with impoverished, hungry streetwalkers, homeless brothers and sisters everywhere. Actually, when you look at times like these, we here in church today still can and have to say, compared with many, we are indeed rich Christians in an age of hunger. We in America are learning incredible lessons, new lessons about values and priorities, about needs and wants. And we also hear much about the way much of the rest of the world see us. Our friends from South Africa 2 weeks ago couldn't believe the joy, the hospitality, the friendship, the kindness of Americans. They heard about what we as a church are doing, and they told me, this has changed my view of America forever. What a privilege, how privileged you are in what a wonderful country you live. And that reminded me of how I used to see America several decades ago, what we used to think and say, and what I've heard in so many places around the world. Things have changed. The view of America of the outside world is wrong. We are a people who care, deeply care. Because why? We are seeing all this happen not only far away, but it is getting closer and closer to us every day. Like seldom before, we are challenged to follow Jesus Christ in deeds of acts, understanding, with love, with mercy. And are we doing it perched up high in a safe place. From there, no. Even many of us present here today have to deal with our own suffering, with our own pain, and with our own tears. Oh, we can tell stories about what some present here this morning are currently going through in their lives. With all that known and said, in comparison to the majority across the world, we are still amongst the most privileged. You know, some of us tend to look at our medicine chest with disdain and self-pity. Poor me. Why me? Why do I have to take all these medicines? What did I do wrong to deserve all this when we look into our medicine chest? You know where Thanksgiving begins? Thanksgiving stirs in our hearts when we pause in front of our medicine chests and thank God for the privilege of having medicine to help pain subside, with prospects of being able to endure and to get better. Are we aware that untold millions live and die without ever, in their entire lives, having the privilege of tasting one aspirin? Totally out of reach for them throughout their lives. Walking around having to deal with whatever life deals them. And countless millions yearning for death, because they think of death as the only remedy to their throbbing pain. Do we have any idea how privileged we really are? And yet how often do we hear people whining, complaining, and acting as if somehow life is singling them out for mistreatment? Let's turn to our faith. Let's ask, what is Christianity's response to all this? Well, if we go somewhat back, we can say that Paul's attitude was one of continual thanksgiving. Listen how he puts it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes, always. And then he repeats it, again, I will say rejoice. The Apostle Paul had an upbeat attitude that nothing could destroy. His rough and his uneasy life with many of his fellow Christians continually criticizing everything he did and say. Well, I've studied the life of Paul more than anyone else's life, and I can tell you I'm not saying that part of the criticism that he received wasn't his own fault. He had a very unique perspective, and everyone around him was wrong. He was always right. But thank God, we see God in Paul's life. We see Paul triumph in the end, in the power and in the strength of the presence of his God. Somehow, Paul never let anything really adversely affect his attitude. And we have it in our cherished Bibles. We can still study. We can still wonder. We can still ask, what was his big secret? Well, there are a few things that we know with absolute certainty. We know for sure that Paul sincerely believed in the power of prayer. He writes, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, let's set something straight. For some, prayer is unfortunately a way of trying to manipulate God. Give you an example. The lady who said to the bank clerk, "Honey, I don't need those praying hands on my checks anymore. I ordered them while I was looking for a husband after my Stephen died. Well, I found a new husband. Just get me some with butterflies or flowers on them." You still think that prayer is a means of twisting God's arm, of getting favors from God, my friend? Then maybe you have entirely missed the whole point, the whole meaning, the whole intention of Christian prayer. Authentic prayer differs from all the little prayers that we say all the time. Authentic prayer is born out of a deep personal relationship with our Creator in and through Jesus Christ. Authentic prayer is a dynamic two-way flow of communication between our heart and God's. It is not a ritual we go through. It's not a cheap means of getting what we want. It is a means by which we stay in the presence of the divine. It is a means by which we not only make known our personal needs and desires, but simultaneously we are opening ourselves up, sometimes to not receiving, and to learn to accept, learn to cope, learn to trust through the darkest night, learn to obey, learn to understand what's happening in our personal lives right now. Prayer is authentic communication with God. No arm twisting, no yelling, no demanding. Trusting, believing, hoping, praying, and in the process, even while we die, I've seen that happen. We thank God that we were never, ever alone. Not at midnight, not during the darkest night. And we living on the space coast, we have a first-hand idea of how important it is for astronauts doing spacewalks to remain connected to the mothership. Why? The connection gives them safety, air, and always a sure way to return home again and again. Are you still connected to the mothership? Am I? Question you can't answer today, and it's good for the next month. It's a daily question that some of us wrestle with throughout our lives. Now, some say, for instance, that the country music, or much of the country music, only focuses on the negative. I don't think it's true, because it's some real good country music, but many of them focuses on the negative and sings about losing. Now, there's a joke making the rounds. They ask, "Now, what do you get when you play a country record backwards?" And the answer comes, "You get your truck back, you get your dog back, and you and you get your girlfriend back." Maybe it does something negative to us to sing songs of woe, to sing about losing. Maybe it does something negative to us to be surrounded by so much negativity in our times. Maybe we need to see more uplifting movies. Oh, a surprise this morning. Dinka and I were driving to church, and I turned up my iPod in the car, and guess what? Aida from Verdi. And wow, wow, wow. And when we got to the traffic light down there, I said, "Dinka, that was God's gift to us this morning. Wasn't that beautiful? It just placed us where we wanted to be. Yeah, these things, there's so much to be found around us in beauty, in the things that God has given us, allowed us to have, to enjoy. Oh God, it's a prayer coming from our hearts, many of our hearts. Help us to remain positive. Make us more positive in this often so negative, sad world. Why? Why did the Apostle Paul remain positive and thankful to the very end of his life? Friends, there is a secret to it. This is not just something that you throw out during a sermon and say, now go and do it. There is a secret in Paul's life. There was a Damascus moment in his life. There came a moment when he realized how bankrupt he really was, how wrong. And there in the dust, on the way to Damascus, he met with Jesus Christ. And the meeting with Jesus Christ touched him, changed him, and equipped him for the ministry that have changed the lives of billions and billions of people over more than 2,000 years. It started when he heard, when he sensed the loving presence of the man from Nazareth. And it is the moment when he discovered, after all, I am not alone. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not only biblical language. That is the truth. With Christ in our lives, we can all do all things that we earlier deemed impossible. Because we are aware of a presence that will never, never let us go. He knew what it meant in prison, being beaten to a pulp. His response was with Silas at one point, midnight, they serenaded the other prisoners and the prison guards, singing about their joy that they found in Jesus Christ. You find yourself in a dark, musty old prison cell in life. Serenade those around you with the greatness of your God. That's why it is now time for Thanksgiving 2010. That's why we as a church are participating, we are adding our voices, we are singing our songs of thanksgiving. We do so not because we are the untouchables without problems. We have discovered that we can and will give thanks even during uncertain times. Christians has learned the secret. No matter how long the night, you can sing throughout the night because you are never, ever abandoned by your God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, abundant provider, you bless us with the gifts from the earth, and you spread out goodness enough for all to share. When we are empty, you call us home. You celebrate and rejoice at our return, and you surround us with grace that knows no limits. Today we, your people, give thanks for family and friends. And especially we thank you for those persons who have stood by us during our difficult times during 2010. We especially pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. so many of our beloved people from this church who can no longer make it to church, who have come near to the end of their life's journey, oh God, wherever they are. We bring them that prayed with us in times gone by. We bring them before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you, God, that we can do so. We think of those who have lost a loved one, who have to live on memories alone. Oh God, sustain them in their loss. We also thank you for the laughter of children, for the wonderful songs we could sing this morning. We thank you for the joy we feel as we delight in one another, in our friendship, in our combined love for our God. Thank you, God, for this community of faith. We thank you for the gift of our physical bodies, for the exhilaration of exercise and the benefits of health. And we bring before you those now praying for with us who struggle with uncertainty, with pain and illness. O God, ease their burdens and bring them healing in mind, body, spirit, relationships. And if it is midnight, O God, help them and us to sing our way through the darkest night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.